Indiana Bible College exists to train tomorrow's apostolic leaders today. This is the Indiana Bible College Podcast. Today we have another chapel sermon, this one preached by Sister Rebecca Spooner, our student body vice president, and she preaches a message entitled, A Runner with a Message. Before we get to that message, though, I want to give you a message. And that is that we thank you so much for all of your likes, shares, and subscribes to the Indiana Bible College podcast. During the month of August, we saw record growth for the podcast, and that is thanks to y'all. So thank every one of you for listening, liking, sharing, and subscribing. And now let's get to this message, A Runner with a Message, Sister Rebecca Spooner.
Let's give that hand clap of praise unto the Lord. Amen. I'm thankful I get to come into the house of the Lord. Thank you, Natalia, for leading us in a place of worship. And I love that song, To Worship You I Live. To worship you not just here today, but to worship you with my actions, with my words, with my lifestyle. That's what I live for, is to worship him. So let's give him a hand clap of praise right now. Thank you, Jesus, for your word, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you wouldn't mind turning your Bibles to Joshua 1, 7 through 9. Where we'll be reading today. And you notice our theme is Joshua generation, and there's a theme with Joshua. And this verse is kind of quoted multiple times in Joshua's life, and so really felt it fit today with today's sermon that God has for us today. So we'll start there. And it says, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand, to the left hand, that thou mayest prosper wherever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever thou goest." So the title of my sermon today is A Runner with a Message. If you could turn to your neighbor and ask them as you're being seated, what is your message today? When I say the word running, what is the first thing that comes to your mind? Not good stuff for me. First comes to mind is that side pain that comes into your side when you start running. No, I don't want to experience that. Or I think of exercise, and exercise is good and healthy, and I need to be doing it, but I just don't want to. Running, I think of heavy breathing. You know, like that? No, thank you. I can barely make it up the stairs at IBC without panting, yet alone running. So I think that's kind of a sign that I need to start running and get healthy. So how many in here love to run? If you do, that is awesome. I truly do envy you, and I wish I was like you. As you can see today, I'm wearing a pair of tennis shoes. I thought it would be fit to wear tennis shoes because I'm talking about running. And these shoes, I've had them for like 4 years. I think when I was a freshman in IBC, I got them at a TG Maxx sale. Can I get an amen? And they've been in the curfew ball. Love curfew ball. They've been at Ultimate Frisbee. Yeah, playing that. And they've been around and getting paint, so they're pretty bad looking, so I do apologize. But they're the only tennis shoes I have. Therefore, I need to get more so I can start running, right? So we're talking about running, if you haven't noticed already. And there's some bizarre runners out there. There's some people that really like running, and it's not a bad thing. There's this marathon wedding that I heard, that I seen online, that this couple loved running so much that they chose to wear tennis shoes, did their vows, and then they ran a 5K. It's on the internet. It has to be true, right? I seen this article. It said, an 84-year-old grandma still pole vaulting. What are you doing? And I know that's not running, but I was like, that's so random, and I thought you guys should know that. That there is a there is an 84-year-old grandma out there still pole vaulting. And then once again, touch into my heart that I need to start running. I think the Lord's trying to speak to me somehow. There is this article that said, my running stroller is everything I ever wanted out of motherhood. I feel bad for her children. there's a runnersworld.com. So there's many running. How many have ran and did the ultimate frisbee out there by the used to be Henderson's house? Yes, come on. It is so much fun. I love getting out there. And once I get out there and start running, I realize how true out of shape I am. So I'm over there. Okay, you know. And then Natalia Benthal comes in, crashes, she catches it, she gets a, like, you know, point and run down. I'm like, man, Natalia, you're awesome. I love that. Like, I want to be like that. Like, you know, so, yeah. So we're talking about running today. But we are all running a race. And my question for you today is, what is your message? You see, passion and zeal without true application truly is useless. I'll say that again. Passion and zeal without true application is useless. In the Bible, I love the Bible. If your Bible is not marked up or have sticky notes, then you're missing out, because the Bible has incredible stories. And I tend to say this every single time because I really want the whole world to know that there's incredible stories in there. There's even a story about a fat king who is so fat that he gets stuck with the dagger, and the dagger gets stuck. And then the Bible says, and then the dirt came out. I'll let you fill in the blank. So there's incredible stories in the Bible. That I promise you, it's in the Bible. and so kind of the story I want to captivate today is in 2 Samuel 18. And we're going to start at verse 19 around that area. But before we get really diving into it, I kind of want to set the setting, because I'm a very visual person, and so I like to really feel the setting of the story. So instead of reading it all, we'll just go ahead and go into the setting. So the setting is, we're at David's time, and he has a son, Absalom. And Absalom is not a good guy. So say, bad guy. And they're about to go into battle, this huge battle. And David, he tells his men, he's like, don't touch my son. Don't hurt him. And so they go in this great battle in the woods of Ephraim, which is really woody and, yeah, woody. It has lots of woods. And Absalom dies. And he actually dies a very bad death. He gets stuck in, like, an oak tree somehow, and, like, he's just hanging there. Like, and then so somebody comes and kills him. So that's how he dies. So we have a message here, don't we? They won the war, and Absalom is dead. So that's a message. So turn to your neighbor and ask them, do you have a message? And Charlie, if you wouldn't mind, start reading at 19. I don't know, forget. Get it? Mm-hmm. Do you need a mic? So everybody can hear you. I'm going to have him read. I'm really kind of bad at pronouncing names, and so I'm going to let Charlie do it. He's got it, though. In verse 19. So we're really going to start diving in to the Word of God, and we're going to take it scripture by scripture, because I feel like it's really important. It's really important to see, and, like, let's see what this character is all about.
Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, let me now run and bear the king tidings, how that the Lord hath avenged him of his enemies.
Okay, we see here that a character has arrived on the scene, and his name starts with an A. Therefore, I will say, runner A has arrived on the scene. And just within this short scripture, we found out a lot about him. With his name, runner A, he is the son of Zadok, and Zadok is a priest. So right here, most of us can relate to him. Most of y'all have grown up in pastor's home. So you can kind of relate with this guy. You understand growing up in ministry and all that. And then if some of you haven't, you can still relate with him because he understands truth. He knows about truth because he's been surrounded by it. So he comes up to the king and he's like, King, let me run. And let me run and tell this great victory that we have won and continue.
And Joab said unto him, thou shalt not bear tidings this day, but thou shalt bear tidings another day. But this day thou shalt bear no tidings, because the king's son is dead.
Because the king's son is dead. Kind of put that in your mind, in the back of your mind. The king's son is dead. So he comes up and he's like, you know, Joab, let me run, please. And Joab, he's like, not right now. I don't want you to run right now. You'll have tidings another day. But right now I want you to sit. And honestly, I would have been like, okay, like, I don't want to run. I am happy with sitting down and not having to run, because they had to run very, like, long miles, and it was really intense. But he kept begging, and he's like, you know, saying, please let me run. And there's something to say about right here about authority. See, when your authority says not right now, there's a reason for that. I know it may not make sense. You might be like, you have that passion and zeal, and you're like, pastor, please, I want to do it. I want to do it. And there's nothing wrong with that. But you, in that moment, you have a choice. You can either listen to the man of God, or you can gripe and complain, and you can go against what the man of God has said in your life. And from personal experience, I can say there's nothing like being under that umbrella of protection. Because there was a time in my life where I was not underneath my leadership, and I had no blessings. But once I got that pride out of me, God knocked it out and said, hey, no, you need to be submitted to your authority. Right. Then God started doing some amazing things in my life. And so there's such vital importance to that. And then another thing we understand with this verse is that he knows that the king's son is dead, and he knows that they've won the war. So runner A understands the message that needs to be said. You can continue.
Then said Joab to Cushi, go tell the king what thou hast seen. And Cushi bowed himself unto Joab and ran.
So runner C, I'm not going to try to pronounce that one either. Runner C comes along and is a new character. And Joab turns to him and says, hey, I want you to run. And so with this name, we see that it's an improper name. Therefore, it shows that he was an Ethiopian. And then it also shows that he was a slave. So Joab turns to a slave and is like, hey, I need you to run. So he runs. Continue.
Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, yet again to Joab, but howsoever let me, I pray thee also run after Cushi. And Joab said, wherefore wilt thou run, my son, seeing that thou hast no tidings ready?
Can you say that one more time, but say it with, like, really, like, I want you to let me run, like, desperate, kind of like what he would say, I guess. I don't know if this is what happened, but I feel like this should have happened or this could have happened, so we're going to run with it. That was funny, right? That's funny. I'm funny.
Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, yet again to Joab, but howsoever let me, I pray thee also run after Cushi. And Joab said, wherefore wilt thou run, my son, seeing that thou hast no tidings ready?
Yes, so he's begging him. He's like, man, let me run. But you see, his authority turns to him and says, hey, you got nothing more to say than the other guy. So why do I need to send two guys when the one guy's going to say the full message? You know, you don't need to run right now. So continue.
But howsoever said he, let me run. And he said unto him, run. Then Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain and overran Cushi.
So just like kind of a random fact, and I thought this was really interesting. The reason that runner A outrun runner C was because runner A, he had experience in war. He knew the plain. He knew the land that he was around. And so he chose to run by the way of the plain, which was flat. And then the slave chose to run the shorter way, but it was full of woods and all that stuff. So therefore, runner A was able to outrun runner C because he did go a longer way, but he went a flatter way, so then he could have more momentum. So turn to your neighbor and ask him, do you have a message? You see, passion and zeal without true application is useless. And you can continue.
And David sat between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof over the gate unto the wall, and lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man running alone.
You can continue.
And the watchman cried and told the king, and the king said, if he be alone, there's tidings in his mouth. And he came apace and drew near.
So we see that David's sitting there and waiting to see, hear from the messenger. You can continue.
And the watchman saw another man running, and the watchman called unto the porter and said, "Behold, another man running alone." And the king said, "He also bringeth tidings."
And you can continue.
And the watchman said, "Methinketh the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok." And the king said, "He is a good man and cometh with good tidings."
That's good. So here we see, and I like how the wordage is, "Methinketh." It's kind of funny. But he's like, "Methinketh that it is indeed runner A." And so this shows us something here, that runner A, we understand that he's a good man. We understand that he has good reputation, and there's many that have good reputation, and there is nothing wrong with that. So we see that runner A, he has passion, he has zeal, and he's a good man, and he has good reputation, and that's amazing and incredible. But when it comes down to a moment, when it comes down to the moment of it telling the truth, the question is, will you tell the full truth? And now we kind of get to the heart of where I really want to just hit hard today. And you can continue.
And Ahimaaz called and said unto the king, "All is well." And he fell down to the earth upon the face before the king and said, "Blessed be the Lord thy God, which hath delivered up the men that lifted up their hand against my lord thy king."
And you can continue.
And the king said, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" And Ahimaaz answered, "When Joab sent the king's servant and me thy servant, I saw a great tumult, and I knew not what it was."
So here we see that runner A has lied. He's come up to the king, and I'm sure when he came up to the king, he wasn't like, "Oh, king." I'm sure he was out of breath because he just ran a ton. But I'm sure he was like, "Oh, king, we've won this great victory. Isn't it amazing?" And the king says, "What about my son?" And when it came down to that moment, he didn't tell the truth. And when I was reading that, I was like, "Well, why didn't he tell the truth? Like, you know, just simply tell the truth. He knew it, so why not share it?" Yeah. And he didn't do it, some say, because, you know, he's afraid of what the king would do to him if he told the bad news or the news that really gets to the heart. You know, he was kind of afraid, well, if I speak that, then, man, that's he's going to get at me. He's going to not like me. And so I don't want to do that. But I want to say the good news, you know, like, have faith in God, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I don't want to deal about the sin issue. Do you have a message today? Continue.
And the king said unto him, "Turn aside and stand here." And he turned aside and stood still.
And you can read all the way down to verse 33.
33? And behold, Cushi came, and Cushi said, "Tidings, my lord the king, for the Lord hath avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee." And the king said unto Cushi, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" And Cushi answered, "The enemies of my lord the king, and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt, be as that young man is." And the king was much moved, and went up to the chamber over the gate, and wept. And as he went, thus he said, "O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son."
So we see here that the king simply turned to runner A and said, "Okay, step aside." And then the runner C came up, and just a simple slave came up and told the full truth. He told what the king was really looking for. See, the king wasn't really interested in, per se, the winning and the victory, but he was really interested in hearing what happened to his son. You see, runner A had excitement and had zeal, and there is nothing wrong with that. And he knew all the truth, but when it came down to it, he failed to tell the truth. You see, when you step behind a pulpit, you have something to say. You have a message to say, preacher. And my question to you is, are you going to speak the truth? Or are you going to be tempted and pressured by this world to just give something half? Like, "Oh, you know, salvation is good, but holiness doesn't really matter." "Oh, salvation is good, but, you know, speaking in tongues, that's kind of thing." But yet you know the truth.
Yeah.
So why do you speak something that is not truthful? When you sing and when you play, you have a message. In that moment, you have a message. And my question is, what is your message?
Right.
We need to be writing songs. We need to be writing songs that to where if our pulpits die, our doctrine will be able to still be sang.
Right. Yeah.
And the question is, what songs are you singing? What songs are you singing? Are you singing songs that have half truth in them? Or are you singing songs that have full truth in them? That's a vital job. Music and ministry, any of it is vital. What God has called you to do is very vital, and you have a message. My question is, what is your message? When you do sound and media, you have a message. When you teach Sunday school, you have a message. When you teach young people, you have a message. When you walk into public, you have a message. My question is, when people in public, when they see you, what do they see? Do they see a young kid acting all like the world as much as they can, or do they see an apostolic Pentecostal young person who's living for the Lord, who's not afraid to share the whole truth? We should not be ashamed to share the whole truth, but we have the whole truth. There is power in the truth, and yet we are ashamed. We're scared. We, in those moments, we get too scared to where, oh, I don't want to share that truth. I know what it's done in my life. I know what it's done in other people's life, but yet I'm too afraid to share it. We should never be too afraid to share this truth. When you walk into your dorm room, you have a message. When you are alone, you have a message. My question is, what is your message? Is it going to be all truth or partial truth? You see, when you fail to tell all the truth or fail to do what God has called you to do, he will send somebody else. See the story of Peter in the New Testament. He preached on the day of Pentecost. Peter is awesome. He's incredible, and he does so many great things, and he's preaching to everybody. He preached on the day of Pentecost. He even preached to the Gentiles on the day of Pentecost. But when God called him to sit down and eat with the Gentiles, and God went out of his way to make sure that Peter knew he was called to do that, he got scared. He got intimidated by, oh, I would never sit with the Gentiles. Like, that's so out of the norm to go talk to that person in Walmart that I feel drawn to. That's so crazy. Like, they're going to think I'm some kind of wacko person. But yet you feel that drawing. You know that you need to be there. You know you need to talk to that person. Yet you are scared. And so God sends Paul instead to go and speak to the Gentiles. See, his will be done. The question is, will it be done by you? So the question is, are you going to run with a message worth hearing? Are you going to run with a message that can touch people's lives, that can touch people's lives, you know that can make a difference in the world? See, we all have this opportunity to share this message, and yes, you will be tempted not to. Yes, you'll be tempted to go half in, half out, but I want to encourage you guys and challenge you guys, never let go of this word. Never let go of this truth. This truth is forever settled. His word is forever settled. His word is powerful and mighty. Let's never let go of it. This world doesn't care about the fake stuff. You know, like the king, he didn't really care about winning the war. What he cared about was his son. See, that's like the world. The world doesn't care about a pixie stick sermon. What they care about is about the word of God and the truth being set forward. They long for the truth, and you can sense it. They can sense it. Over the summer, we had the opportunity to go to the jail a couple times, and, you know, I don't want to play around with this truth. Because when you go to a jail and, you see a young girl who looks at you with tears running down her face and she says, why can't I be like you? See, in that moment, she sensed something. She knew that we had something she needed of, and yet she's like, why can't I be like you? And in that moment, we had an opportunity to either say, yes, you can be like you. This is what you need to do, because you know what's the difference between us? We have God living inside of us, and he can live inside of you. And in that moment, we had an opportunity to share that. But what if in that moment we didn't? What if in that moment we said, oh, you know, just believe in the Lord, and you're good. And then she turns around, and her life is not changed. That would be awful. And I don't ever want to get to that point where I don't do that, where I don't share the truth. I don't share this message of reconciliation, this message that can touch people's lives, that can heal them, that can give them hope. See, over the summer, I encountered a girl who was being sexually abused, and there was no doubt about it. When she would talk to you, she would be very fearful, you know. And she couldn't even, I did her hair, and I was like, hey, you want to look in the mirror and, you know, see yourself, see how, you know, pretty you look? And she cowered away and said, no, I don't want to look in the mirror. I was like, okay, well, I'll take a photo of it and send it to, you know, you can see it. And so in that moment, she was like, oh, wow, she felt beautiful, you know? And the thing is, she was so sexually abused that she felt like she was just an object. She felt like she had no purpose whatsoever. But yet there was one service the whole week, sorry, the whole week she wouldn't pray. She wouldn't go to the front. She would just be there. She wouldn't like for people to touch her, which sexually abused people normally don't like that. And so she, in this service, this preacher went up and preached truth. And in that moment, that girl came down to the altar, and I was sitting there right next to her as she was lifting up her hands, tears running down, and all she could say was, "Lord, I forgive them. I forgive them." Now, if that preacher would have gone up there and preached half-truth, that girl would not have gotten her deliverance. That girl in that moment wouldn't have felt that she has a purpose, that God has a plan for her life. So you have the truth. You have the message. You're running this race. Preach the message. Preach the truth. Preach deliverance, because it's through deliverance. It's through the word of God that people's lives are going to be changed, that their heart's going to be drawn towards God, that their heart's going to be changed and know that they have a purpose. They have a purpose in this life, and you have the message. My question is, what is stopping you? What is stopping you from preaching this message when you walk out of Walmart, when you walk out in the streets? Why are you holding back? You have zeal. You have passion. Why are you holding back? There is no reason to hold back to what God has given you and entrusted you with. He has entrusted you with the word of God. My question is, what are you going to do? Like a girl I was praying with the other day, not too long ago, up in the altar, her hands raised, and I could see cuts marks from where she was been cutting, where she had obviously, you know, hard time, and she must have been cutting herself. You could see the scars. But the thing is, she was worshiping, she was praising, and those cut marks were just scars. They weren't fresh, they weren't new cuts, but they were scars because she was delivered. Because of the preaching of the word, the singing of the word, the ministry of somebody reaching down into her life and not ashamed of preaching this truth, preached to her, touched her life, and now she's reaching other people around her. My question is, what will you do with the truth? And James 2:17-18 says, "Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say that thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." You see, if you have faith without works, you are spiritually dead. If you have works without faith, you are spiritually dead. We must have both. See, not alone to have faith and passion and zeal about this thing, but if we have no application to it in our own life and to trying to reach others, then it is dead. It's time to grow up. I'm sick and tired of people saying that IBC is just a camp on steroids. No, IBC is a place for you to start growing, start shaping, start molding into the person, the woman, the man of God that God has called you to be. It's time to take this time here seriously. We can have fun. Yes, there's. I like to have fun. I don't want to live a boring life, but I want to have fun, but I also don't want to be like the world. There's a difference between having a good time and being like the world.
Right.
When you're out there, you are an apostolic Pentecostal, and I feel like there's been a theme. Stop waiting till like, oh, I get done and graduate, then I'm okay. No, start now. There's so many opportunities. There's street ministries on Saturday where people are getting healed. People are getting the Holy Ghost, and you're missing out. I'm not saying it's bad if you can't make it or if you can't go, you have other things. Totally understand. But if you're just bored, go. You'll be like mind-blowing of what God can do in that day. There's MSA trips. There's just your neighborhood right next door that you have a chance to share this truth. It's time to take that passion and take that zeal and actually apply it. See, you're a runner in this race. We're all running. I got my running shoes on. We're running together, and we're running in this race, and we have a message. What message will you have? Will you have a message that's worth hearing? And see, when you're running this race and you're holding on to the truth, God will be with you. And see, in Joshua 1:7-9, from when we first started, it says that the book of law shall not depart out of thy mouth. So don't let this book depart out of your mouth. Don't turn to the left. Don't turn to the right, but meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, all that is written within your life to do. For then thou shalt make thy ways prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever thou goest. That's a promise right there, that if you don't let go of the truth, if you don't share just half the truth, but you hold on to the full truth, God is with you, and you can conquer any mountain, you can conquer any valley, because God is with you. He said he will be with you, and I take that as an encouragement today and a push to hold on to this truth. I don't want to be like a Debbie Downer, but I just simply want to be an encourager to keep running with a message that's worth hearing. I want to be an encourager and a challenger to you today that keep running with a message, because you have the message. And we have to have a burden for the lost. That's why we're here. That's why we're here at IBC. Not to get the next position, not to get this, but we're here to sharpen our axe so we can go out and cut down some trees, cut down some things, and reach people. That is our main goal. So today, I can't do something, it seems like, without illustrations. God just kind of, that's how he speaks to me, so that's how we're going to run with it. So today I have some runners, and if the musicians would like to come. And I have some runners here today. If you don't mind coming up to the front right here with your Bibles, that would be great. So I got some awesome runners. I called them and I was like, hey, can you guys wear tennis shoes, which is probably the most random. Three of you can go down that way, and then three of you can stay right here. So we have some runners today. Give them a hand. Woo! And so we have some runners today, and they're wearing their running shoes. They are ready to run. Yeah. So if you guys don't mind, do you mind? You don't have to actually, like, run, but you can kind of, like, lightly jog. I don't want you to have to, like, yeah, there we go. Yeah. Okay, so you see, we're all running this race together. We're all running it together. And you see, we all have the same book. We all have the same truth. We don't have anything different than the other. We're just simply running this race. And this race isn't about who gets there first. This race isn't about who finished the finish line the first. But this race is about endurance. And in this moment, we are running a race. And our goal is not to finish. I mean, we want to finish, but not to be the first to finish. But our goal is to take as many people with us as we can. You guys are called. God has some great things in store for your life, and he wants to use you in a mighty way. But your goal isn't to get a praise, you know, get on praise, even though that's great, and God calls people on praise so they can grow and shape and mold into who God wants them to be. But instead of being, oh, okay, John, you're running a little faster. Oh, I'm so mad because, you know, he got this position and he's doing this thing. Why didn't I get that? Why didn't I do that? Probably because you have a pride issue is why you didn't get it. It's time to get that knocked out. We're running a race together. We're running together. We're a family. It's not about who gets first. It's not about who gets that. It's about my brother, my sister is running, and I'm running right next to him because we are a family, because we are called, because we have this truth. We have the word of God. Let's run together. Let's run this race. Let's stop having competition. Let's stop envying one another. Let's get that out. That's in the past. Let's start moving forward. There's a lost world out there. My question to you is, what is your message today? Are you running with the truth, or are you slowing down? Because if my brother's slowing down, I don't want to be like, oh, you're slowing down. Too bad. No, I have a responsibility to say, get back up, get back up, get back up. We have the truth. Get back up. Keep running. Keep running. You know what? We have truth. I want to be able to say, I've done it, Lord. I've ran the race. I've kept the faith. I want you to be able to say that. And then while you're running your race, you come around and say, hey, I want to share with you the gospel. I want to share with you the truth. And then they grab a hold of their Bible and they start getting the truth. And then we have another person running with us. Oh, yes, yes. Then they go out and they get some other people and say, hey, come run with me. Hey, come run with me. Hey, come run with me. Come live in this truth. Come get the word of God. Come on, the word of God can save you. Can save you. Yes, let's run together, family. Run. Run this race. We are a family. We are chosen. Let's run this race. So today I have these altars open. I don't have it open just for someone random, but I have it open for IBC. You have a message. God has entrusted you with the Word of God. The question is, what are you doing right now? What are you doing right now to show that I have the message? What are you doing to reach people right now? I'm tired of having passion and zeal, but no application. I'm tired of having that. I want to apply it in the right way. I want to reach my world, because my world needs you right now, God. Oh, my world needs you, Jesus.
Indiana Bible College has three major courses of study: Biblical Studies, Worship Studies, and our newest major, Missiology. For more information about these, visit indianabiblecollege.org. Indiana Bible College, training tomorrow's apostolic leaders today.